While you were sheltering in place, my brother and sister-in-law have been house hunting. Really, they're probably at the gatherer stage in the process at this point, closing in on a closing, moving back home this summer after 5 years and two kids away. And choosing nearby New Orleans neighborhood, I got the privilege of being their man on the streets for it. I remember when Gail Benson picked out her Audubon Place residence years ago, and she said she only needed an address and a picture of the front door. Either I'm not that advanced, or my brother's not quite that wealthy, or probably a little bit of both, but this experience hasn't really been the stuff of living section cover stories or HGTV teasers. I'll remember one house in particular, partially because it was the last time I mistakenly shook someone else's hand. It's been a 4-week incubation period now, so I think I'm safe. Other than being a block away from Mater Della Rosa, it was in a great location. One of these big, only in New Orleans houses, though with a few quirky things visible in it. As I went around the corner to catch a glimpse of the backyard quirks, I was noticed by the owner, who stuck out that hand and volunteered to give me a glimpse inside. I could see it all now. The double parlor and pocket doors, the makeshift second floor awning, and the matching one in the back of the house as well. What's up with the weathering over there? What's the little issue about the shoring that you mentioned? What's the way you've been self-treating for termites again? In conversation form, it was like stripping layers away, trying to get to the basics, past the third coat of paint and the recent quick fix. If I can visualize our last month and glance forward to what looks like to be our next, it's something of that process, stripping our layers off, seeing what remains, sensing a bit more truly what we are. Hopefully we're not ready to put ourselves or each other up for sale just yet. Stripped are our activities, our busyness, much of our entertainment, some of our jobs. And stripped to the basics, what have we found? What we feared? That were kind of boring, not quite so virtuous, maybe a bit of a damp windowsill and an out of alignment back door in us. All the different stuff in us has been simplified, brought to the basics, stripped away. Lives characterized by choices and many, to those of simplicity and one. When all is stripped away, what do we see? Let's let Jesus try to answer that question. We may well be a fixer-upper at the end of this, but maybe in a better neighborhood than we thought. The second Sunday of Easter is called Divine Mercy Sunday, so there is something built in to raise our foundations a bit this day. But I don't even think it takes a long look at Thomas and his accepted counteroffer to know something more about ourselves. So we've moved from noise to quiet, from multiples to one. What are we really talking about? We've stripped layers away to reveal the heart. Isn't that the way we talk? The heart is our place of unity. Its beat reveals what we're all about. Jesus comes to the disciples, returns to Thomas. Moments when their hearts are laid bare, when all things have been stripped away. And it's in this moment that Jesus reveals his heart. This time shouldn't be just an awareness of all the many ways we fall short, of all manner that our egos are propped up regularly. More than that, it should be a moment of stillness that discovers that God is near at hand, that shows our hearts can approach the divine because that divine heart approaches us. In Jesus, God has a human heart, one that can fulfill those deep down desires of ours when all is stripped away, when all is simplified. Feel the connection of that heart, a oneness that tethers us to God, but that also pulses very rarely in pain. Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe. The divine mercy resurrection appearance doesn't discount the pricks of this world. Rather, Jesus bears them, preserves them, consecrates them. Jesus loves through his wounds. When you make some time for private prayer inside church this week, look at the resurrected Christ statue here in the sanctuary, the Sacred Heart statue in the back corner, and see in both Jesus in glory with wounds still visible. When I close up church today, another image of this will be the extinguishing of the Paschal candle, the first time its light goes off since the Easter vigil 8 days ago, having kept watch during our week of Easter days. This year, I chose an image on the candle of the Sacred Heart, not knowing the pandemic to come, but knowing something of the stripped away love God was inviting us to. Before the Paschal candle is lit, it's blessed with five wounds punctured into place. Tradition has it that each red-tipped wound contains a granule of incense within it, something of sweetness, even in our Savior's pain. As I placed each pin last Saturday, I prayed, by his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ our Lord guard us and keep us. The second placed in the middle this year in the center of that Sacred Heart image. This period of time might reveal to us the cracks within, stuff stripped away, left simplified, limited, without quick fixes to prop up and another layer of paint to mask with. It shrinks us more to our hearts. And as it does, may our vision be extended some to see Jesus's heart, God's human heart, that wounded, loving heart. From this place, God bears his love for us. May we follow that lead, imitating suffering love ourselves, finding the beat of God's truest purpose for us. Before we move through with any sale of this stripped away fixer-upper, may we notice we're in a better neighborhood. Jesus' nearby presence with us. Love that bears nail marks and side punctures. By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ our Lord guard us and keep us.